Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. I am not astonished at this, having traveled over the world without being seen by others. The activities of the personality of Godhead, which are like those of a man in this mortal world, are bewildering to others. But I know of His greatness by His grace, and thus I am happy in all respects. Purport. Although he was the brother of Dhritarashtra, Vidura was completely different. By the grace of Lord Krishna, he was not foolish like his brother. And thus, his brother's association could not influence him. Dhritarashtra and his materialistic sons wanted to falsely lord it over the world by dint of their own strength. The Lord encouraged them in this, and thus they became more and more bewildered. But Vidura wanted to achieve sincere devotional service of the Lord, and therefore became a soul absolutely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could realize this in the progress of his pilgrim's journey, and thus he was freed from all doubts. He was not at all sorry to be bereft of his hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This stage of life is explained in the Bhagavad Gita as Abhayam Sattva Samsudhi. Every living entity is factually completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But unless one is in the pure state of existence, he cannot be established in this position. This stage of dependence is called Sattva Samsudhi, or purification of one existence. The result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. A devotee of the Lord who is called Narayana Para is never afraid of anything because he is always aware of the fact that the Lord protects him in all circumstances. With this conviction, Vidura traveled alone and he was not seen or recognized by any friend or foe. Thus, he enjoyed freedom of life without obligation to the many duties of the world. When Lord Sri Krishna was personally present in the mortal world in his eternal blissful form of Shyama Sundar, those who were not pure devotees of the Lord could not recognize him or know his glories. Avajananti mamuda manushim tanumashritam, Bhagavad Gita 9.11. He is always bewildering to the non-devotees, but he is always seen by the devotees by dint of their pure devotional service to him. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakayam Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, before I start, I would like to pay my respectful obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas here present in the temple room and those listening online. Vanchakalpa Turupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnav Bhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnav Rindaki. Hare Krishna. So we're continuing our discussions and observing the inquiries of Vidura. There's interesting connection between the previous verse, and I kind of explore the commentaries of specifically Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur. And he points very wonderful he makes very wonderful points regarding what was actually going in the head of Vidura, and how he actually understood that sometimes the negative impact which is immediately seen could be actually the greatest blessing and greatest boon. So as today we're also celebrating Sri Madhavacharya's appearance, I would like to state a very interesting point. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it? Maybe Adi Guru Prabhu, would you mind reading the first verse? Yes. David Prabhu, would you like to read the other verse?
These four statements will be the establishment of the four authorized and empowered spiritual channels of this specific concession in the period calculated from the reign of King Vikrama in 54 BC, subsequently to the 4,332 year cycle of Kali Yuga.
So this just established that the four Sampradaya Acharyas are a bona fide source of wisdom and bona fide source of connecting to, for us to sort of a study and study their commentaries. Especially I can humbly suggest to the devotees who are more interested in deeper study of the Bhagavad Gita, there's a very wonderful website, www.bhagavad-gita.org. And on this website, you find all the four Sampradacharya commentaries on all the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So it's a very wonderful source of wisdom. So this is today's verse. So the principal three topics which I was thinking we can actually discuss. And we try to go fairly quickly, just so we can cover other points. So the three main points we can see in this verse is that perspective of a Vaishnava. So perspective of a Vaishnava means that devotees have a completely different type of vision, which is based not only on experience and knowledge, but rather on the fact of realization. Another point is search for purification. We can see the desire of Vidura in his journey and in his desire to actually go for a pilgrimage. And immediately we have varieties of situation happening to us, but we also have varieties of choices that we take. And we can see the choice done by Vidura. He understood that this is what's happening, this is what's going down, and this is what I have to do. And in last paragraph, last stanza, Srila Prabhupada is saying that Krishna is not like an ordinary man of this mortal world. This commentary which you can see on the side is actually taken from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, when he drew a wonderful point that we as devotees, we as practicing Vaishnavas, Sukha Dukkha is just perspective of time and actual knowledge of what's happening in our life. Let me give you an example. There's this wonderful story. I'm sure many of you heard of this pastime before. It's a story of a simple farmer. So this farmer, once he had a son, and he had a lot of horses. And one day, a lot of these horses, they just disappear into the wild. And he was saying, this is the worst day of my life. All of my livelihood depends on these horses. Next day, what happened afterwards, those horses, they actually brought big bunch or crowd of wild horses into the ranch or the field or the farm of the farmer. And said, this is the best day of my life. Nothing, you know, this is amazing. I had only few, now I have dozens. So he had one son, and this son tried to, train the horses. And what happened? His son broke a leg. And said, this is the worst day of my life. Why? Because I actually very much depend on my son. I'm getting old. I'm not so able to function in such a way. And my son is actually the strength of my household. This is the worst day. Day after that, there was a great war which erupted in the country. And many recruit people came to the village and said, we need all the strong young men to join the army. And the farmer said, well, my son has both legs broken, so this is the best day of my life. He doesn't need to go for war. So it only shows that perspective is actually very important in the life of a devotee. And let me ask you a question. How many times in life you had something which was seemingly a great blessing, something which was seemingly a great situation, something which was seemingly the best day of your life? But when you look 5 years down the line and when you look back, you say, this actually triggered a series of events which is not so auspicious. So we can see this in the perspective and the life of Vidura. I remember when there was a class, I think this was Mother Urmila, she was speaking on the whole heated situation which happened when Duryodhan kind of cast Vidura away from Hastinapur. You can see the turmoil, you can see the emotions being churned in the heart of Vidura. He put the bow, he left the household, and he was offended, he was blasphemed, and he was shamed. And as a great Vaishnava, he felt very much sorry for the household of Duryodhan and King Dhritarashtra. But he left. But now he came to the point where Vidura himself is saying, this is the greatest grace and mercy of the Lord. This situation, which was seemingly so unfortunate for me, turned out to be a wonderful blessing. So, and we can see who is Vidura. What is the previous life of Vidura? Yamaraj. And to give, again, narrational perspective to his pastime, the pivotal desire of Yamaraj was actually that I'm constantly associating with these ruffians and miscreants and with these low-class people which are coming here in front of me to be judged, to go into varieties of hellish regions. You know what? I actually desire association of devotees. I actually desire to go for a pilgrimage. I actually desire to be in the pastimes of the Lord. So there's a very interesting concept. There's a desire versus execution. So desire versus execution means that we may desire humility. We may desire tolerance. We may desire patience. We may desire varieties of virtuous characteristics in our life. But the interesting concept is that Krishna will not only deliver the character, but he will allow you the situation where the character can be developed. So the Vidura desires sincere devotional service. So how this was manifested? By being exiled. Because the association of Vidura association that Vidura was surrounded by was very unfortunate. He was surrounded by Shakuni. He was he was around Dhritarashtra, the blind king. He was around Duryodhan. He was around association which be not very much conducive for his spiritual progress. So what sincere devotional service triggered was his situation changed. The next desire of Vidura was that he desired purification. He desired to actually have association of saintly persons and fully be dedicated to dharma and developing attributes which are conducive for spiritual progress. So what happened? He was put in a position where he was able to go on the pilgrimage. The acharyas are commenting that actually he even went to Mayapur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining in Jaivadharma that actually Vidura went on the pilgrimage also in Mayapur. He went to Mathura, he went to all the different bathing ghats around Yamuna and Ganges. And actually the time between when he left Hastinapur and when he went back to Hastinapur is 36 years. So for 36 years he was traveling on a pilgrimage. Can you imagine that? Right, when we go to India from the temple, we go for a month at best. That's how much we are allowed to. If you're not fortunate to go longer. But Vidura went on a pilgrimage for 36 years. That's amazing. And he was traveling from one side to another and purifying his consciousness, performing varieties of rituals, performing bhajan in all these beautiful sanctified places. Another desire of Vidura was the firm conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada explained in his purports that persons in renounced life, they should always and they should meditate on developing fearlessness. And then Prabhupada gives very wonderful step-by-step process how to actually develop this fearlessness. We can see the second theme is the search for purification. So for the search of purification, the question may be asked, how much we are willing as individuals, as practicing devotees, how much we are willing to sacrifice for this act of purification? What is our level of our comfort zones? And where is the level that we wish to push ourselves for the sake of purifying this material consciousness? Prabhupada says that this stage of life is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Abhayam Sattva Samsudhi. Every living entity is factually completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And this is very interesting. Every living entity is factually fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. We are dependent on the air, on the sun, on food, on association, on knowledge. We are dependent on the structure of the country. We are very much dependent. But ultimately, intelligence means that we understand that all these faculties are coming from a certain place. Therefore, I put together this small little, I don't know, what is it? Chart or diagram. Thank you. Yeah. This small little diagram, which says that ultimately, every single entity is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But not every living entity is able to actually understand this act of being dependent. So we can see that this process is a process of great purification, process of developing fearless attributes. So if someone desires to be free, if someone desires true freedom in life, this is the search for purification. This is the step-by-step process which we can actually go through. So if you desire to travel alone, for instance, like in the life of Vidura, if we're desiring freedom, then the attribute is Narayana Para, which means being fearless, completely free of any fear. And on many occasions, fear comes in many different shapes and forms. It's not only the physical fear of immediate danger. It's not only the fear of being attacked by a weapon or being harassed, but actually fearless means that you are not necessarily putting so much emphasis on creating palatable situation for your spiritual life. It's mean fully being dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Whatever comes, comes, and that is my allocated quota. It means not unnecessarily creating abundance. And that's the beauty, and that's one of the characters of Brahmanas. Kartik Chandra Prabhu very beautifully mentioned that one of the attributes of a Brahmana is that he's able to give dakshin or donation even before he receives a donation. Right? So even before we receive something special, something unique in our life, like some certainty or some foundation, we are able to give in charity. And this is fearlessness. It means giving before receiving. On many occasions we see that when you're on book distribution, when you're on Sankirtan, people first look in their wallet, they double check their bank account, and based on that they give. Right? But true charity means that you first give and then you see if there's enough for your next purchase, for your next step in your life. This is true fearlessness. And in conclusion to the particular verse, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna is not like a man of this mortal world. So in this connection, we can see that here in this commentary, this is actually, by the way, to glorify Madhavacharya. This is extrapolation from Madhavacharya's commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. So it just shows that everyone has certain attributes and qualities to observe the machinations of the material nature surrounding us. We can understand the phenomenal nature, but simultaneously the ticket of of purifying the senses and the mind and the intelligence is actually engaging ourselves in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The one who understands the unique feature of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and the one who's able to take shelter of these transcendental pastimes is the one who truly understands. Because it's interesting. In the terms of samskaras or receiving samskaras in head, it basically means developing these imprints that even if you don't try to think, you think about Krishna. Even if you try to sort of empty your mind, there is a pastime, there is a narration, there's this intensity of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and you just on a default absorb yourself in that. The one who understands the nature of these pastimes, it takes refuge and accepts the protection of the Lord, is actually the one who's benefited and blessed. And naturally, from churning, studying, and engaging in these pastimes, one acquires certain lakshanas, or certain natural indicators that someone took shelter of the Lord, which is, for instance, as was mentioned in this verse, the fearlessness. So Prabhupada, one of the points he was mentioning, that Krishna is not an ordinary person. And Vindura was stressing this point, that Krishna is not an ordinary person. And he sees the machinations of Krishna in his personal life, even despite being in such a seemingly bad position. Bad position in the sense he had no shelter, seemingly no home. He was not recognized by foes, he was not recognized by anyone. So any social status or social recognition was out of the window. Yet Vidura took great pleasure in this position of being no one, comparison to being a great advisor of the emperor of the whole world. So this is the feature of the great devotees, that they're actually able and they're very great and very happy to be in whatever service to the Lord. So this will be sort of to encapsulate or to close the presentation by Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we would like to take the opportunity and say something in the glorification of Madhavacharya. So as you can see, there are varieties of facts mentioned here about Madhavacharya. Yesterday we had a very nice conversation, quick conversation with Govinda Prabhu, when I tried to kind of step out from this class and ask him to do it. And interesting points came out, and one of them is a very nice question, and I think I can ask the audience. Why do you think Lord Chaitanya specifically and particularly appeared in the line of Madhavacharya? There are four bona fide sampradayas, represented by four bona fide acharyas. Why or what do you think is the unique feature of Madhavacharya sampradaya? Then Lord Chaitanya took, you can say, shelter in that particular sampradaya. Parajan Prabhu, maybe we can have a mic, please. You can say, I will repeat. Is it on? Okay, all right. Thank you, Parajan Prabhu. Any other takes? Pancha Tattva Prabhu? Mike is coming, please. Mood of separation. Radhe Shyam. Maybe slightly less, Vishal Prabhu. Thank you. Mood of separation. Okay. David Prabhu.
By actually fighting in impersonalism and Mayavad philosophy.
There we go. Very nice. Thank you so much. That's the answer I was looking for. One of the features of Madhvacharya Sampradaya that was established on the tenets of actually fighting Shankara's concepts of impersonalism. The reason why Lord Chaitanya, the greatest offense understood by Lord Chaitanya was the Mayavad philosophy. Mayavad philosophy directly negates the Krishna being a person. It directly negates the beauty of the pastimes of Radha Krishna. It directly negates the concepts of rasa amongst Krishna and the jiva. So therefore, the greatest feature of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya is that one of our duties as a sort of a, those which are descendants in this particular line is to engage in philosophical, not physical, philosophical fight against the impersonalism, impersonalist philosophy. So Govinda Prabhu disclosed that there are two particular aspects that Lord Chaitanya or our Sampradaya took from Madhava, and that is the importance of deity worship and fighting against impersonalism. So these two concepts are very important for us in our day-to-day practice. Srila Prabhupada, when he established morning program, if you see, that morning program is around deity worship. It's singing in front of the deities, chanting in front of the deities, paying obeisances in front of the deities, praying to the deities, developing friendly and servitor type of relationship with the deities. Therefore, these are the very important tenets of Madhvacharya's gift to the world. Another concept that Madhvacharya developed are these nine particular teachings. In Prameya Ratnavali, which is a composition done by Bala Vidyabhushan, he actually offered a very wonderful presentation and in-depth Vaishnava understanding of these particular nine teachings. Another personality in our Sampradaya who really deeply connected with the studies of the teachings of Sri Madhvacharya is actually Jiva Goswami. So many, many books, including and especially the Sandarbhas by Jiva Goswami, are based on the teachings of Madhvacharya, specifically Tattva Sandarbha. So in the Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami establishes the very principal foundation of how we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas are approaching Supreme Personality of Godhead, which takes of many of the points of Sri Madhvacharya. So we are Gaudiya Madhavas, and in this way, I believe, I don't know if it was in the 2000s, early 2000s or late 1990s, where ISKCON as a movement actually had a very extensive communication with the Madhvacharya Sampradaya in South India, and they established and we established that we are in a direct line of Madhava and that we should be also recognized as the direct descendants of Sri Madhvacharya. And I believe there was some treaty conclusion that we've been understood that yes, we are coming in the Sampradaya of Madhvacharya. Obviously with some unique features presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone read these teachings? Are they too far? Okay. So, jiva souls are by nature the servants of the Supreme Lord Hari. Would you say that's correct from our perspective? Yes, Jai. There are two categories of jivas, liberated and illusioned. Those basically, and interesting enough, the term jiva actually means soul, which is within the realm of matter, which is within the material world. Now that teachings number 7, liberation means attaining the lotus feet of Bhagavan Krishna. In other words, entering an eternal relationship of serving to the Supreme Lord. Pure devotional service to Krishna is the only way to attain this liberation. And the truth may be known by pratyaksha, direct perception, anuman, inference or logic, or shabda, spiritual sound, or Vedic authority. And Sri Jiva Goswami actually explains this in Tattva Sandarbha. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sri Sri Gornitai ki. So with this said about Sri Madhavacharya, we're going to move on to the last point in our class, and there's Ramachandra Vijayotsav. So I'm not really much a scholar when it comes, definitely not in terms of Ramayana. I have no depth understanding of Ramayana. But one interesting angle which we can take is not only a physical victory or dominion over Ravan and Kumbhakarna, but very interesting concept there is presented by Shubha Vilas, and I was listening to his class. And he was saying that, as you can read here, is that Kumbhakarna represented pride. So it's not only victory over, you know, like killing an asura, but you see, Kumbhakarna, Kumbha, for instance, means like a big water pot. And Karna means?
Ear.
So Kumbhakarna means a person who got massive ears. So the interesting thing about pride is that Ravana, he was very much upset because Kumbhakarna was sleeping majority of the time. He was sleeping when there was all the fights happening, when many of his soldiers, ministers, generals got killed, and Kumbhakarna was constantly sleeping. Who is, on the other side, constantly awake to serve his brother? Lakshman. It is said Lakshman haven't slept for 14 years. And here we have Kumbhakarna who sleep almost constantly. You know what was the way that Kumbhakarna could be only awoken? Through singing his own glories into his ears, into his big massive ears. So only this way Kumbhakarna could be awoken. You had these big, these brahmanas being on the two sides of Kumbhakarna's head and just singing, "Oh Kumbhakarna, you're such a great person. You're the most powerful of all the asuras. You're the biggest, the greatest." And only in this way Kumbhakarna could be awoken. Another interesting concept is that Kumbhakarna, when he got instructed that now is the time for you to go into a battle, you know what? I'm going to give you an army. This is what Ramana said. I'll give you an army, and you, and head of the army, you just march and destroy Ram and Lakshman. And he said, no. He said, no, I don't want any army. I'm going to walk alone. I'm going to show you, Ravan, that actually I'm much, much more powerful than you think I am. And this says that the pride always walks alone. Right? People which are in a very, very pride, they don't want to share, they don't want to cooperate, they don't want to see insides of other devotees, they just want to be alone, they want to do their thing alone. So when we're celebrating the Shara, it's not only victory that Ramachandra defeated the evil Ravan, but we also see that it's a victory over pride. And on the other side, we can see that how Lord Ramachandra, even when he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even when he's within every single atom, he maintains and he's the source of all the energies of the material and spiritual creation. What he did, on his journey to save Sita, he actually took so much advice, so much counsel. He took shelter of so many great personalities. So even someone who's of great caliber, of a great character, he humbled himself to the degree that he was seeking shelter of other great personalities. Who was the one who found Mother Sita in the Ashoka Grove? Hanuman. It was Hanuman. Who was the one who suggested the strategy to defeat Ravana? It was Vibhishan. Of whom he took shelter when he was massing his armies? Sugriva. So, and this, time and time again, Lord Ramachandra conquered pride. Time and time again, Lord Ramachandra was victorious because he took shelter of the Vaishnavas, even when he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on the other side, we can see that how Ravana represents an illusion. Represents an illusion in such a degree that when all his sons, when Indrajit died, when all his ministers, his generals, his sons of his brother Kumbhakarna, Kumbhakarna himself, when everyone was dying around him, he was constantly illusioned that, you know what, I'm still going to win this war. When all the destruction was around, he was still thinking that I will be victorious over Lord Ram. So the nature of illusion is that doesn't matter the counsel or the advices you receive, you will constantly be in your own mind space. You constantly will see your own goals. You constantly will see only your own concepts. This is the nature of being illusioned. It means doesn't matter what a good advice you may receive, you constantly think you are correct, you are the doer, and you are the one who's right. So this was the nature of Ravan. And this is interesting. There was one small little pastime which happened, which just elaborates on the illusion of Ravan. So do you know how long it took the battle on Lanka between the armies? It took 7 days. So for the 6 days, constantly everyone was dying around Ravan. But the last seventh day, there was one secret army that Ravan had, and he was not utilizing it often, only when he himself went to the battle. So on the seventh day, all the monkey army been thinking, okay, he cannot throw anything else at us. But in one point, Ravana just went out from his city with a great, massive army, and everyone was surprised. And interesting about the act of illusion is that anyone heard about Nimitta Gyan? Some time ago, we discussed it. Nimitta Gyan basically means the art of reading omens. An art of reading, like having predictions, understanding that what will be the future. So what happened is Ravana was exiting the city, a great vulture went and sat on the chariot of Ravan. Every single person on the battlefield, every single fighter in amidst Ravan's army was saying, this is a very bad omen. Because when vultures assemble, what's happening? They're going to be corpses. There's going to be dead bodies that vultures eat. So it is said that this great vulture, and he couldn't be kind of a, you know, Ravan couldn't get his shushim away. So it's interesting that this vulture indicate a nimitta, or basically omen, saying that you, Ravan, will die very soon. Every single person understood it. But Ravan was still in his illusion, in his concept that I will win the battle, I will kill Ram, and I will be victorious. And I will enjoy the spoils of Mother Sita. So this is interesting. So Lord Ramachandra, he destroyed not only the pride of Kumbhakarna, and not only the illusion of Ravan, but Lord Ramachandra established the Raj Dharma, how to be a most virtuous and most pious of all the kings. So today we're celebrating the Shara, the victory of good over evil, and victory over righteousness, correct duty, sense of Dharma, over pride and illusion. So if devotees would like to share any other pastimes regarding the Shara, regarding Ram Vijayotsav, please do so. Nayan, Srinivas Prabhu, we've been discussing the other day. You have plenty of pastimes there. No? Otherwise, devotees, if they have any, yes, Srinivas Prabhu?
Well, I'm reading Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's book on the hidden glories of the holy places. He was saying, Lord Ram spent most of his time in Chitragup, and he just went to Dandakanya briefly and killing of Ravana, but eternally he resides in Chitragupta doing his pastimes, and the name of Lord Ram is chanted there 24 hours a day.
Very nice, thank you. Any points, any questions, any things devotees would like to share? Reflections, we still have a few minutes for Q&A. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. You were mentioning that the term jiva is used only to refer to the spirit souls here in the material world. So I was just wondering, is there a term to describe or refer to the ever liberated spirit souls in the spiritual world?
This terminology description was done, was offered by Baladev Vidya Bhushan in his Gita Bhushana. And he said that jiva only means that. But not necessarily. I would say just souls or atma in the svarup. Or atma which has the svarup siddhi, which understand that what is their position and their nature in the spiritual world. Or just liberated souls. Govinda Prabhu?
Thank you for your comments about Madhavacharya. I wasn't aware of that. But I've got a friend who I feel leans very much towards the oneness aspect. And he likes to see the word jiva as meaning subtle covering, etc. And there's some kind of evidence you could go with that. But one of the main ones is, Prabhupada will say that in the liberated state, the liberated state is Brahma Bhuta, and the conditioned state is Jiva Bhuta. So that's a distinction that Prabhupada made. So based on that, one may say Jiva is means in the conditioned state. So it's kind of like, it's true in a sense, but for me, I think ultimately we take the Jiva to be an eternal spirit spark that it continues to exist, and so it's still called a Jiva as far as I'm concerned anyway. So, but it is there. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Bishop Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the very interesting class. My question was about Kumbhakarna Prabhu's... Prabhu? Kumbhakarna and Ravana's qualities of being proud and being the controller. So we all have these qualities within ourselves. So how do we... what's like the healthy... How do we make our pride or self-esteem or that controller, the ego, to like a healthy state?
That's why it's recommended in the process of sadhana bhakti to be in association of Vaishnavas and have someone who's senior to you. One of the six loving exchanges between the Vaishnavas is that you reveal your mind and confidence to someone who's your well-wisher, to someone who's your friend, someone who can actually point out certain difficulties and challenges they see within you and help you to rectify them. Many times these concepts of aham ameti, I am mine, and thinking that we are the doers are part of basically, obviously, our karma. But within engaging yourself in the process of sadhana bhakti and staying with the Vaishnavas, you see how these concepts will get purified. And if they don't, then you just go through difficulties and challenges, which ultimately will lead to some sort of a change. So I would just say, just stay in association of devotees, perform sadhana bhakti, read spiritual books, engage yourself in reading transcendental pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Krishna, and ultimately all these attributes and qualities will come. And if we have desire to develop, for instance, being prideless, Krishna will put us in a situation where we need to humble ourselves. If you want to be not illusioned, then Krishna will put us in a situation where we don't have a choice. So on many occasions, it's not the character development, but Krishna gives you the situations when you're almost forced to develop that character. And that's his mercy. Just like in the situation of Vidura. Vidura was out of sentiment attached to his brother, Dhritarashtra. But he was forced by the providence which took shape of the words of Duryodhan to get out, go on a pilgrimage, and develop the qualities that he always desired to develop. So, yeah. Krishna takes personal charge in the life of devotees. But be careful what you wish for. If you want to be prideless, then there will be some challenges there as well. If any devotees would like to share? Taruna Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Just in regard of previous thing, I just try to have some understanding that Nitya Bada, Nitya Mukta, means when even when Nitya Bada gets liberated, still there is tendency then kind to fall. While Nitya Mukta, they never have tendency to fall. So in that category, you may think that Krishna created two different sort of jivas. Like those which are just like his own body, another he kind of doesn't like as much and leave this tendency. I'm just wondering, if Nitya Mukta gets liberated and his tendency is gone, they also need to...
Kind of, I don't have sufficient knowledge personally to...
Probably there is
no
kind of answer to that, but just try to think of... Although it's mentioned, once you get liberated, then you don't fall, but this Nitya thing, it means there's a tendency.
So. I would even say that Krishna is even more satisfied and happy with jivas or with souls which are struggling to achieve him. I think there was some, again, I heard, don't ask me for reference because I have none, that Krishna, to a certain degree, is even more satisfied and more happy with those jivas which are somehow entangled and things are difficult for them. But their intense desire is to achieve Krishna. And Krishna appreciates that. Krishna appreciates that they trying every single day through different hardships with the contamination of their mind and consciousness. And they do it again and again and again. And Krishna appreciates that endeavor. In the other concept, these souls, which are obviously eternally liberated, they have natural, obvious sentiment and rasa with the Supreme Lord. But that also rasa of hardship, there is some beauty in it. There is some beauty.
Must be they're missing this also. Nitya Mukta, missing that thing.
Missing that they, hardships.
They're dreaming to fall down to show themselves.
I don't know that. I can't say on that. Okay, thank you so much for your kind attention. Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Ramachandra Vijayotsav ki, Sri Madhavacharya ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande, Haribo.